This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Town Hall Academy. 356 weeks of this, Chris. I mean, you have just done enough. You probably have done 20 or 30 of these or more. Craig, a whole bunch. But Brandon, this is your first time.
Yes, sir. Very first time on your show.
Yeah, on my show, of course. Thank you for slapping me upside the head. Of course. Sure. Thank you. Hey, everyone. We're going to talk about keeping an eye on bay productivity. And I got to tell you, cameras are scary good today. I don't know if this has anything to do with that. The power of AI and what maybe those cameras can see and how algorithms can be used to discover stuff like Carm's hands are moving. And then the all-knowing and the all-seeing that I believe can come from cameras and AI. One of the things we're going to talk about, which I think is incredible, we talk about effective labor rate, but what about effective bay rate? I know, Brandon, you want to cover that. And one other thing that really hit me hard, guys, was we've done episodes on lean, and we've done an episode where an individual mapped where the oil filter was and the oil, doing an oil change in the spaghetti zone of interaction that it takes to get a job done, that I'm sure that watching over a bay with cameras and AI could help us become so much more efficient. Hopefully I've whetted your whistle enough so that you're going to hang around and listen to this great episode. And also, facial recognition. I mean, when I sign onto my smartphone, it says, you know, I don't even have to put in a password anymore. It just says, hey, his nose is big enough, so it lets me in. That's how that works. Anyway, hey, we're together with some great sponsors and we've had them for such a long time. We appreciate them. You know, is your auto shop feeling stuck in the Stone Age? Well, it's time for a tech-volution. Introducing AppTech by Shopware, the tool that will make your technicians feel like superheroes. Zap those outdated processes and embrace the future of automotive excellence. Check it out at GetShopware.com. And when you turn to my friends at Delphi Technologies for your chassis needs, quality is always at the forefront. Material and dimensional enhancements, as well as 700 hours worth of salt spray testing, goes into each and every chassis part produced. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com to see over 8,000 chassis parts Delphi has in stock for you. Chris Cloutier is with me, Golden Rule Auto Care, CEO of AutoFlow.com. Great contributor to the show. Hi, Chris.
Carm, how are you?
Great, man. Brandon Krusha is here, Bayflow brand manager and owner of what?
The future.
He always says the right thing. Very good. Craig O'Neill's with us, VP of training at AutoFlow.com. So this is an AutoFlow kind of show, but it's not, because Chris, a while back, you said, Carm, I'm working on this really crazy thing called Baywatch. And then my mind drifted away for a few moments and came back. And I says, what the heck are you talking about? And to your point, Chris, that you have renamed your company and your products over time, which I think is a great thing. We now have Bayflow. What is it?
Gotta always keep them guessing, Carm. If I stick with one name for too long, people will think, like, Chris doesn't like change. And we always talk about change on your show. So there you go. I'm like the instrument of change. Carm, and I think it's been at least 30 or episodes this year, I feel like, that I've been with you, which is always great. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate how you do elevate the industry. What is the new product called Bayflow that was called Baywatch, but we had to change the name because, like anything else, I got cease and desist. I get those letters often, Carm. I'm filing them away and they have their own file in my filing cabinet. But what I was approached with was, this is years ago, Carm, I was approached by a facilitator at a 20 group. And he said, you know what, everybody in here, we're only using 20 to 30% of our bays to their maximum capacity. Like, we're only using 20 to 30% of their maximum capacity. And I thought, there's no way. Like, Carm, that number blew my brain. I'm like, he's got to be wrong. So that set me on a path. And I'm like, how could I truly measure what our effective bay usage is? And this led me on a path of everything from, you know, the small RFID chips to cameras to the product we landed on now, which is called Bayflow. And that's exactly it. We're measuring and monitoring exactly what's happening in the auto repair shop in real time. So we're looking at cars, where cars move from bay to bay. We're adding up all the time that they spend in the bays, the different bays, as well as we're looking at body time, Carm. So we're looking at these times of how long an elbow, a shoulder, an ear, a face, some legs underneath a car, and adding that up. And then comparing this against what we have. And what we have is the book time, and what we have is the technician reported time of efficiency, what they clocked in and off the job. And we're comparing all of this as well as the ticket average, and we're now seeing things, Carm, we have never been able to see before. I've been working on this. As you know, I think we started talking about this years ago. I even talked at Ratchet & Wrench, I think 3 or 4 years ago, and I said, hey, I got this product. Everybody's like, when is it going to be out? Something like this, Carm, has taken a lot of effort, energy. We've had to throw it away. We've had to restart. We've had to bob. We've had to weave. We had to change. And now finally, we have this product out. And now finally, we have the results. And we're seeing some amazing things, things we've never seen before in this industry.
Okay. So that 20, 30% capacity, what are you learning? Was it a real true number?
It was. Yeah. Your best shops will run for 50% of the time. Now, there's guys in the audience and gals in the audience saying, Chris, you're wrong. And this has to do with billable time in the bay, because there's so much wasted time that you spend, that these cars spend in the bay, that you have no awareness of, or you think you're aware of, and you're not. And we'll get into that further. So I'm talking about billable time to your bay, that it's actually producing what it should be producing. And that's dollars with labor and dollars with parts, Carm. And it is shockingly surprising at the results we see.
Our audience has got to be reeling in their mind, and so is mine. And let me just throw these out. And if we cover them, we cover them. I found out, I think just through news reading, I think it's England has the most cameras that people are, you have a chance to be on camera if you walk or do anything in England 25 times a day. And we may sit back and we may say, we've got cameras in our bays right now that are there for security reasons. Why aren't they being used? Into your point of saying, listen, we just booked a 2-hour diag and the car's been in there, you know, 3.5 hours. That result that comes back, okay, we were waiting on parts. I get that. How can we improve our parts delivery? I mean, there's so many things that can distill. It reminds me of an incredible bottle of Opus Cabernet. You know, the longer it sits and the smarter we do things with it, and the richer it gets, because we've got data now.
Carm, I think you're hitting on something pretty important here, and you touched on it. There's a lot of cameras around now, and a lot of people have opinions on cameras in their face or around their business, and a lot of us have gotten used to it. Or maybe you have the feeling I have nothing to hide. But whenever I start talking about Bayflow, and I had this opportunity very recently at Super Saturday. So I was at the trade show floor and I enjoyed showing some of the camera footage of Chris's shops live while that's going on. It's always entertaining and it's always positive stuff, Chris, always positive stuff. But the technicians, that's a technician heavy show at Super Saturday. A lot of technicians there, and you get this sort of, what's this about? And you can tell like right away, the first thing going through a technician's mind when cameras are in the bay is like, I don't need more pressure. I don't need someone else looking over my shoulder, telling me I'm not being efficient enough. I kept stopping them right there. Like, guys, I get it. I've been a tech most of my life. These aren't here to scrutinize technicians and try to say, you need to work faster. You're not working fast enough. We've got the proof right here type of a thing. This is about the facility and its operational efficiency. Are you managing your facility, the bay, the physical space has a potential opportunity that we are not measuring accurately, at least in any business right now? This technology is allowing us to start seeing things that we haven't seen before. Brandon's been nose deep in reports on this, and there's some really alarming numbers of potential revenue that is not being realized. And I think a fear that a lot of shop owners have to even see it is also a reality. Some of the shop owners are like, oh, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. And Brandon, the numbers are big enough. They probably don't want to know.
They're big enough. Sure. Chris doesn't like to know.
it's shocking. And Craig obviously laughed when he said he shows my shop as an example, Carm. That's okay. You know, the emperor wears no clothes. It's something that we have to admit, because we've never seen this before. And that's the problem, right? We think we know.
Chris, in your shop, have you not done the kind of remedies there based on what you're learning, because you're still collecting data?
We're still collecting. We're still bobbing and weaving and moving. It's finding those silver bullets that help us. And Brandon's got some interesting case studies that we have now that absolutely apply. I mean, it's something as simple as, once again, that $0 ticket, Carm, that we're allowing to be a $0 ticket that we just don't keep track of. A shop is a black hole. We well know this, right? That when it's busy, The day starts, and if it's busy, the day is over, and everybody is good with that. Everybody loses track of time in a shop when things are busy, and therefore things sitting on racks and things sitting out in the parking lot all becomes just a blur because nobody is truly, once again, managing, like Craig said, perfectly. This isn't a technician. We're not measuring tech efficiency. We're measuring your bay efficiency. And I think it's this industry we've always focused on technician, which we should, but like Craig said, we can't replicate our bays. You are limited to how many bays you have, and that's it. So how can you, going back to what you talked about earlier, Carm, take the Lean Six Sigma type principles and become very productive and efficient with the one asset that you have, which is your bay? How can you manage that better? What are things that you can dig up and see that you can truly see now versus you were blind before?
I'm numb to the whole concept and the whole idea that this is the next bestest, smartest step we could take to run a more customer experience, highly focused, productive, profitable business. It's the next frontier. Brandon, help us understand if I'm thinking right.
Absolutely. One of the things as an advisor and an owner I always thought about in the shop was I can't see my bays. I have a good idea of what's being worked on out there, but to really know, I have to walk out there. One of the things this tool does is it gives us a filter. I can actually just click a filter on a screen, and now I know every car that's in each bay is being worked on or not, because I can see from a Bayflow dashboard whether it's clocking a body working on it or not. Most of the time, it's just sitting there wasted when you really look at the true body time versus bay time.
Craig, what kind of potential are shops missing?
The potential is it's really got to do a lot with how we're moving vehicles through a workflow still. That's one of the elements where AutoFlow comes in. So one of the things that I would focus shops back into as we start to get the results is you have to be able to ask some very specific questions throughout the day. And the tool's making people more aware of these. Like, should this vehicle be in the bay right now? It's a key question advisors should be asking at multiple statuses because they're sitting there, just sitting there waiting. And we have in our back of our mind, especially technician mindset, I'm going to keep it on that hoist until I need it type of a scenario. How long does it take you to rack and unrack a car? Too long in your mind, but probably not too long compared to all the other things that could be done on that hoist or bay right now. And the other questions I think advisors should be asking is what vehicle should be in the bay next? I feel like we're just very chaotic and very reactive in most situations where, hey, we don't even have a plan in mind for which vehicle needs to go in which bay, or we try to, and it's shot to snot whenever we start going through our days. All of these things, if you can start to see how inefficient your bays are, the way you are doing it should help you define a little bit more efficient way. And that's what we're starting to see. Some decision-making abilities are on the table now that were just sort of not based on information before. Now we have information to base those decisions on.
And Carm, I want to jump in on Diag that happens daily, weekly at shops, multiple times a week. That Diag that Carm comes in, there's an intermittent problem. We get it in. We say, Carm, we're going to look at it. We're going to charge you $160 or whatever our labor rate is, plus a little bit of, you know, whatever grease we add to it. And we say, Carm, you know, it's an hour worth of our time. Of course, Carm, you're going to ask, well, is that rolled into the repair? And we say, no, Carm, because we're going to test and analyze the vehicle. We're going to go look and plug it into their tools. We've got highly professional ASC certified technicians. Carm, that car we see will sit in the bay for hours and hours. We got some examples where it's 15 hours, Carm. And at the end of this journey, after multiple technicians have looked at it, after we plugged it into the scanners, after we've done all our diagnostic, we go, Carm, here's your keys back. No charge today because we couldn't figure out what was going on with your car. Whenever your vehicle acts up again and it's acting up more consistently, then bring it back to us and we'll do. So there's no process for escalating a Diag even. So how many hours are potentially wasted, Carm, where if we were more under a clock, and this is a Lean Six Sigma, right? It's all about production, starting and stopping and saying, hey, in the first hour, you know, technician, you really do have an hour to look at this. And once your hour is up, come and talk to the front and say, what are the findings that you've had? What are the things that you're seeing? How much more time do you need? Versus now, once again, goes into the hole. This happens in shops all over. You know, we don't have this in a whole lot of shops right now, but it's a pattern we see over and over again, 10, 15, 20 hours of $0 diag time, $0 ticket, and we give that customer back the keys because we can't charge them $160. So Carm, what if we just got back some of that time? Because if we can't figure it out in an hour and it's a true hour that our technician has spent on it, what makes us think we're going to figure it out in 8, 10, 15, 20? At what point in time do we give those keys back and say, hey, Carm, either take it to somebody else who can figure it out or bring it back when it's more consistent?
There's a question on that. The point that Chris is making on that diag, how are we currently tracking this? Of course, we're scrutinizing the diag technician himself, and we're asking for what from this man who's maybe struggling with a diagnosis right now. We're asking him to clock in and clock out or something. He doesn't stop trying to solve problems. These people working in our bays are focused on solving problems as efficiently as they can. And time is not on the mind as we're doing this. So asking them to hit a problem and then hit a timer and then go and stop and have that conversation with the service advisor, this doesn't occur. And so what the bay system actually is able to do through the camera technology, through knowing the body on time car, through knowing what's on that work order, is notify a service advisor at the front counter that, hey, this has gone past an amount of time that's been billed for already. And that gives the service advisor an opportunity without even having to interrupt the technician, without even having to go into further that, yeah, maybe we need to contact this customer. Maybe there's an escalation process we need to implement in our shop that has a clear protocol for how we handle that situation. And they don't exist right now. And with that data that we're getting, I think, Brandon, this is one of those key things. Maybe it's not even just the diag topic, but this is certainly one that's come up that you're starting to see from the shops already on the program.
Absolutely. Shop owners and managers, even technicians, are extremely happy with what they're finding. I'd argue that technicians are probably more happy with the findings than the owners and the service advisors, because most of the problems are actually pointing back to the front of the house.
Bingo.
Just like Craig said, technicians, we're geared to fix a problem. We're there to solve the problem. We're not there to watch a clock. Nobody's thinking about time. Yeah, I think it took me an hour to fix that. In reality, what did it take me? 8, 10, 12, 16? I don't know. I was just in the zone, so I had to do it. But now that we're seeing these things, we see cars sitting on racks for hours upon hours. And instead of looking out the window into the shop and saying, why is that car still sitting there? Now we have some data telling us how long it's been sitting there. And we ask that question, why has this car been sitting here for 3.5 hours with nobody working on it? Well, the advisor told me, pull it in, tear it apart. Parts were on their way. Well, where are they? They're not here. Huh. Let's address that.
Tired of software solutions that don't get the job done? Well, Shopware is an auto repair shop management solution created by a shop owner for shop owners. With Shopware, you can digitally track jobs in real time, optimize parts pricing, and transform your business. Shopware unlocks your customer data and streamlines it for you. Now, with Shopware, time-consuming tasks like estimate writing can become automated. Now, you've got the data, so why not put it to work? You don't have time to write the same estimate over and over. Shopware also lets you run your business on the cloud and paper-free. Our exclusive tech app means your technicians can accept, transfer, and track jobs on their phones. They can spend more time under the hood and less time scrolling through emails or shuffling through paperwork. If you want to save money, save time, and make your customers happy, try Shopware today. Schedule a free demonstration at getshopware.com to see Shopware in action. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line, and more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. Our listener driving down the road on their exercise bike, cutting the lawn, They're thinking, where's the shop manager and the foreman in this mix? If they're not in the front and they're kind of in the bays and they're in an observation tower, wouldn't it be so cool to have that data to help them with the workflow software and all that? So this is spinning, right? And then alignment capacity. I got an alignment machine. Is it to capacity? How much more can we do? Are we selling enough tires? Does all this blend together? And what about ADAS? I'm doing ADAS. Am I doing it profitably? And then finally, where's the training element in the fact that some of the stuff that we can do better in improving bay productivity has to do with training? So these are just those random thoughts. Help me bring them down from the clouds.
Oh, you nailed it on so many of those things. You mentioned the alignment bay right now, and I think that's a good precursor to the ADAS bay that is of the future or currently in many facilities. The alignment bay was comically an interesting result with Chris's shop and some of the first of installs that we've done with some of our other partners. You could look at a bay occupancy view and you could actually see which bays are occupied for how long through the day. And looking at it, it's like, what's going on with bay 7? Why is this one empty? And another shop, maybe it's bay 5 or whatnot. And we look, and those ones that are chronically empty are the alignment racks. And it's so funny because, well, it's not funny. It's actually really tragic.
One of your most expensive bays, Carm.
Not one of.
Truly.
It is the most expensive.
I had this conversation, Brandon, with people at Super Saturday. So I was talking to the owners, and I found that this was a chronic in their shops, they believe, too. The question started to finally shift away from the technicians. Like, I was getting questions, of course, like earlier, like, hey, could this detect if my technician's standing there around looking at their phone and that sort of thing? It's like, no, but it's going to tell you how you maybe need to hold your team accountable to actually doing rollbacks with your alignment rack. How long does it take to do a rollback today? I've learned on machines with bubble levels and all the early machines that those were easy compared to the way people before me had to do it. But now you slap that head on the wheel and it takes you, what, all of 2.5 minutes to accomplish a rollback? That thing should be doing rollbacks all day long. And we should be looking for anything out of alignment on things. We need that rack to pay for itself. And frankly, there's missed opportunities going out on every single car. You could be serving your clients better as a result as well. And it's frustrating to see those occupancy pieces there. Same thing, Carm, like you were hinting at, ADAS bays. I guarantee you, people are going to invest tens of thousands of dollars into those ADAS bays. They're going to maybe start doing pre or post scans on one or two cars. You know, the big mistake I know from my brother's experience in the mobile diag world is a lot of shops are simply not doing any kind of ADAS checks on it because, oh, there's no code on right now. It doesn't matter. You have to have a pre-scan. You have to know what it is going out as well. Any types of major repairs that are going to affect those bays, I would want to know. Is there occupancy in this? Is it getting used as regularly as it is? Is the car count going through there resembling the type of tickets that we should be seeing go through there? All of this gets easier.
And Carm, I want to point out, and Craig was touching on it, and this is immediate what people think is, well, this technology seems evil. It seems like you're micromanaging. It seems like, you know, you're on top of your technicians. So I think I'll go back to texting your customer, right? And in the early days when I started Auto Text Me, right? It wasn't about like losing this personal connection with my customer. That was never the case. It was about efficiency. It was about using technology to say, hey, your car's ready versus a phone call, which you may or may not get them on the phone. Then they may want to talk to you for 5 minutes. It was just efficiency. I think with technology and what most people I think understand now is technology can be a really good thing if used properly. If you take this tool or any tool and you abuse it, I think absolutely it could turn into an absolute train wreck. I think all your technicians will quit on you. But as Craig pointed and alluded to, I think if you tell the why behind all this and you say that, hey, what we noticed when we were looking at some of these jobs that went over is that, hey, this particular part that we get a lot doesn't seem to be coming in a timely fashion because where we're getting it from is a distant location. And what we decide is we could get it from a closer location and therefore we can have that part so you can actually do your job faster. So it's not your problem. What we have here is we have a supply chain issue, but we've never really been able to identify the supply chain issue because once again, it's a vortex of time and we just lose it, right? And what you get is the technician going, oh, the parts never are here on time. And then you get the service writer saying, well, you know, I ordered the part. Neither one of them's the culprit. It's just that the supply chain that we're choosing in our shop because we're all just in time to get our parts, we're just not looking for that close distributor that can get us that part quickly, right? Yeah. Which is causing us pain in our shop.
Another front of house finding, front of house. Not absolutely. On technicians.
Absolutely.
we did this great episode, the Google Nerds, and they're scanning everything in the company. So they can go to Google Docs, type in a part number, and it shows up on the invoice. And if we see that Bay Watch tells us we have a slowdown in supply chain, Chris, we go to our Google Docs, we type in that part number, and I have purchased it 5 times this year. And to your point, it's from a distant supplier. We either need to, number one, change it or add it to inventory, especially if I'm selling it 5 times. You want 3 turns on a product. It's intelligent. It's smart. Just put it into inventory. Be smart. And that's a competitive advantage for time and Bay productivity. So it goes beyond, Chris, the deep think that's necessary. And I'm sure you guys are going to go out and say, listen, you got this. Now we want you to learn how to lead this.
I think it's a great point, Carm. I think there's just like that. And here's what we're recognizing. Once again, when you go and you start measuring things that you've never been able to measure things before, now you can start managing things differently. And a lot of pushback we get is from shop owners that say, nope, I'm already good at what I do. I'm really good at what I do. And this is why you have a radio show. This is why there's magazines that exist, right? We have to drop our egos. We have to let our egos go. And we have to realize we can always be a little bit better. And we need to utilize those tools that allow us to be a little bit better. As soon as you say, nope, I can't improve my operations at all, guess what? You're right. You are not going to improve your operations at all. But is there potential for all of us to get better? Absolutely. And that's all this is. Once again, is measuring something we've never measured before. So on that parts thing, you know, I've talked to other shop owners, Carmen, they're like, no, I know exactly when my parts get here. I know exactly how it's. And I'm like, no, you don't. You don't. I'm sorry, because there's some mistruths that are happening in some of these other systems that you think are telling you the truth.
And that contentment, I think, is dangerous too. A lot of shops get content where they're at. And Brandon asked a really good question, because he was showing the lost potential dollars. And I think it's just the perfect question. What does 1% better look like? And that's a significant sum.
Yeah. Does that pay for the tool? Absolutely. Especially when you look at the amount of money you're spending on $0 tickets, like Chris mentioned earlier, the $0 tickets that in 2, 3, 4 days are costing $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 worth of Bay time. What about the wasted time cars just sitting there, and it's hundreds of thousands of dollars? What if you captured 1% of that? Yeah. Would that make a difference to your bottom line? You already have it. You're just not using it.
It's the trouble with potential. It's a loss that you never feel unless you have it shown to you in this way.
It's like using a credit card versus paying with cash. You swipe a card, there's no emotional tie. But when you hand that $100 bill, you really feel it.
Ooh, shade.
I don't know. I'm different on that. I always feel like it's in my pocket as cash. That's like not in the bank already.
Chris, you said something earlier about, you know, wanting to learn something, to your point. Well, my deliveries are always like this, and then they have an open mind. And I've always said the words, be a perpetual student, but I just rewrote something about that. And I wrote the words, thirsty for new. And I just want that to sink in a moment. Thirsty for new, because that's what entrepreneurs like Chris is doing. You had a dream, someone challenged you, and then you decided to take your erector set Lincoln Logs, and you sat down on the bench, and you figured out how to make this Rube Goldberg thing, and then you put AI behind it, and maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I'm right.
You're absolutely right. The word AI, everybody's using it. You know what, Carm? I said this in a leadership meeting last year, and I said, you know, the good thing, guys, is that now when we get this Bayflow product out and we say the term AI, everybody's going to know what it means, because 3 years ago, 4 years ago, nobody knew what AI meant, right? Now, do we really know what it means? I think it maybe gets abused a little bit. It's kind of like cloud. Everything's in the cloud. Everything's AI. It's one of those terms that I think investors really like if you have something AI. But there is true AI behind it. There's true AI. There's modeling, data modeling behind it. So this isn't anything new. There are other industries that do this, that measure, you know, via cameras, or they measure via RFID. I mean, I've heard about bars measuring pours on their bartender's drinks to make sure that, you know, they are pouring the right amount of liquor, right? I've seen this other applications of people using this to manage and measure theft, right? And seeing if there's bulky items that are walking out the door, not only with employees, but then, you know, with just people in general. Of course, now it seems like, depending on where you live, that might not matter. You might let everybody walk out the door, but there are certain places that still matter. So this technology, once again, is something that we're trying to present to the auto repair industry. I'm like you, Carm. I love Lean. I love the idea. It's manufacturing. It's different. Lean is truly different based off the manufacturing aspect that it came out of. We're fixing cars, which is a different process, but there's still things we can adopt and still things we can apply to help our industry and elevate our industry. And it goes back to customer service, customer experience, how quickly we can get that car in and out and maximize our dollars and profits.
You know what it reminds me of? If I was an owner and I'm sold on Bayflow, I'm gonna put it in, or I want to be a beta, and I'm going to go to my team and say, okay, maybe you think you know why we're doing this, but there's a whole other reason. You've seen me. I've shared the numbers, where the money goes. You understand the profitability. You understand I'm paying the biggest rate for wages in this town. You know we're a growing company. You know I've got vision and plans. And one other way that we can stay where we need to be is we need to get lean. So we're putting in Bayflow for that reason. Where's the battery charger? How far are we walking to get that? We need three other ones in the shop so that we're not walking crazy. The most often used tool, why are we walking into the back? Why isn't our tool closet or our scanner closet somewhere in the center of the shop?
I think you're asking a thread that a lot of shop owners are asking too, Carmen. It's one of the first questions we get. And in fact, even before we tracked Body on Time, we were getting this question. One of the first corporate partners that we were talking with about Bayflow immediately went to tracking technician activity. And I made a joke in the meeting where I said, well, right now we're really focused on cars in the bay. And what we found in our early tests is getting technicians to wear license plates isn't easy. But the point is like, again, scale back like on the human being element and focus again into the bay. And that's our initial approach on this first and foremost. What's funny though, when Brandon saw this, when the first places we installed outside of Chris's shop, it was what, Brandon, a day and someone hung a hat right over the camera?
It was the day that I left from the install.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I used one of the other cameras to show me the hat hanging over it.
Yes. It was funny. Now, wasn't that same facility, I think, had a guy that was just a little bit too concerned about the possibility that facial recognition was going to be in the program?
Like, conveniently, the guy who hung the hat.
Let me clarify, though, that we are not doing facial recognition at any point in this right now. Although I'm sure we have the technology. We probably could if we wanted to someday, but I don't think
we're
that's
not.
We are not.
we can recognize faces, just we're not tying that to the person, right? The question was asked earlier, Carm, why can't I just use my security cameras?
Yeah.
You can. I mean, two shops, Carm, customer complains about damage on a vehicle. How much time do I spend going through all the time and reels and fast forwarding, slowing down to find the 2 minute clip? Like, there's none of that. We're identifying the vehicle either based off of the license plate or based off of the make and model and the color. And we're able to tie this to your inventory that you have in your Autoflow program or come from your shop management system. And then once again, the body isn't saying, okay, Brandon's the technician on the vehicle. It's saying that there is a technician body that has been hovering around this vehicle. After so much time, it starts calculating all this information. And then one thing a security camera, you know, can't tell you really, and it could, is how many bays this car has been in, right? So we'll tell you an accumulated amount of time for body time and bay time that the car has been in. So security cameras, they're great, but they're really not, right? Because it takes a lot of time to go find that one piece of information. I could not imagine you trying to take your video security cameras and trying to match that up with your day and how much body time and how much, I don't think it's possible.
And yet you invest in that security camera because you have this sense that they're there to protect you. That sense is there that they're there to protect you. And of course, we start showing Bayflow and the first sense is that these cameras are here to scrutinize me. And that's not the case. These cameras are there to protect you too. It's there to protect your business. It's there to protect your bottom line. And that is what this is about. I think that's an important distinction. But no, we can't use your security cameras. It's a specific PTZ camera. There's a lot of hardware involved. Actually, it's a good question to ask because, hey, we hired a Marine when we had to do the initial installs in Texas in the summertime in 110 degree heat.
Not just summer. It was August.
Yeah, specifically.
And we had record heat last summer.
In Houston and Dallas. It was lots of fun.
You must be the Marine, Brandon.
I am.
Thank you for your service, by the way. Are you having any fun?
I have a ton of fun. This is such a great company to work with. I mean, I worked here before Craig did, technically.
It's true.
But it was just as a client. I was a client for a long time, and I taught Craig how to do his job at one
point. It's true. First time ever at a trade show, Brandon takes the tablet from my hand and shows people how to whiz through a DVI. It was impressive. That's why I asked him to go into an attic in 110 degree heat, though, too. So,
yeah.
You know, the unique thing about you three is, Chris, your current shop owner, but Craig and Brandon are former shop owners. So when you walk into a place, or you're developing software, or you're testing it, you've got all of that, been there, done that on your sleeve.
Lots of experience on this team, Carm. It's one thing that I appreciate about my team is that pretty much everybody who works for us, not everybody, there's some people who have not worked in shops, but the majority of my team has worked in shops. I value that experience. It goes back to a long time ago, Carm, when I was working as a software engineer for Wyndham International. I had a boss come up to me one day and he goes, and we were building a rewards and referral program for Wyndham International. And he said, Chris, how much time do you spend on the counter at the hotels? And I said, never. How much time do you? He goes, I go every other Friday night. I go spend the time at these hotels. And I thought, that is the dumbest waste of time to spend your Friday nights. Like, I play in a rock band. I'm going to be out rocking. He was so right. The information and the value you can get. Now, you can tack on a lot of, you know, bad habits and all that. But I think there's an experience and there's a certain understanding of the way this industry works if you do have that background. So I'm very thankful for my team to have the history, and Brandon and Craig, wonderful trainers and wonderful people that just understand the industry. And when creating something like this, Carm, when there is no blueprints, by the way, there was no erector set, this is the way you build it. This is, hey, here's some duct tape, some bubble gum, and erector set, and here's some Legos too, if you want them, and here's some sticks, and here's some yarn. Go build something. So having a team that has a lot of experience as we're building it, as we were building, as we're building reports, is very helpful because we really are building something that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Chris, how long has this been in the incubator?
It's probably been 6 years now, 6-7 years now. Absolutely.
How many false starts?
Two for sure. Throwing away a product is hard to throw away and start over again and say, maybe we don't want to use the yarn. And maybe the bubble gum, it doesn't stick as well as we thought. So maybe the erector set and the Legos are what we want to go with. And then, unfortunately, Rowlett, it is my true playground. And even Brandon, every time he goes there, he's like, God, it has multiple versions of the product in Rowlett, Carm. So there's things that are old and things that are new and things that are kind of in between.
Guys, I need to understand the concept of the hardware. I mean, we're basically talking about, we're installing cameras, what, off of an RJ45 plug, maybe something like that, into some kind of router that goes up to a cloud where all the work is done. Is it that simple?
It is that hard and simple. Chris tells us all the time when we say that the software is simple, that it's actually much harder than we make it in our mind. But yes, these cameras are running off power over Ethernet, PoE. They've got a main switch in the network room that goes to a server, that goes to a cloud server that produces the data.
It comes back and gives me some kind of incredible dashboard. Chris, I got to have a demo on this. Will somebody give me one someday?
Absolutely, Carm. And then once again, the data we're pulling, early stages now, we have it out in shops. We're getting data. We're getting understanding. We're building application. We're building, because one of the first questions we get, Carm, is, okay, how do I use it? At what point does this data become important to me? And why is it important to me? And once again, and we have, you know, some answers now. Once again, the $0 ticket. That's super important to understand that $0 ticket. And that $0 ticket, Carm, could be that free check. It could be that free AC check. It could be that courtesy inspection. It could be the Diag. Like, there's a bunch of things we do for free, but it all costs you. And then technician distraction. This is another front of house problem that happens daily, multiple times a day. How inefficient, and we know this, Carm, we talk about this. How inefficient is for you to context switch between this job and this job and this job? But that manager comes out and says, yeah, Brandon, I know you're 2 hours into this, but I really need you to go over and look at this thing right now. And Brandon's like, look, dude, I got like 45 more minutes and I could, no, I really need you to go look at this. So Brandon goes off for an hour, then he's got to go back and then he's got to take now an hour, hour and 15, 20 minutes because now he's got to remember where he was. He's got to go check all this stuff. And this happens once again, all the time. So those type processes, who's getting distracted? $0. Parts delivery. right? And what are some things that we're getting often that we can solve and get things closer? Or like you said, maybe buy some inventory. But these are the things that we're finding that tie you up. And then Craigism, musical bays. Carm is another term we're coming up with. And this is, car's been in, if you got seven bays, it's been in bay two, then it's been bay four, then it's been in bay three, then it goes into seven, then it goes back into two, then it goes back into three. And after seven, eight times, you look at this and you go, wow, if that's 10 minutes of my technician time to go walk out, get that car, start it up, pull it on the rack, pull it in, rack it up, pull it up, and then to take it out, that's another 10. How much time are we wasting on musical bays? And why are we doing that? Why?
What's the reason that we cannot have that vehicle live in one bay? What isn't close, near, available?
Use the alignment rack. It's open.
Yeah.
It's open. You know, wait until those parts get here. Wait until, and we make it simple. And once again, everybody's going to say, well, I always wait until the parts are here before a technician starts on the vehicle. I don't know that it's always the case. Whenever we talk in absolutes, Carm, and I every once in a while say never or always, and I am wrong.
You're on the cutting edge, the cusp of brand new industry KPIs.
Brand new.
Brand new. And I'm thinking about taking a speeded up version of the day that you can watch in a half hour. It's an example. And you sit down with the team and say, listen, we installed this incredible new product. We're going for lean. We're going for efficiency. We're going for extreme customer experience, because we want to get them in and out. We want to communicate. If there's a problem, we need to learn from this. Let's all watch this. And you act like, what happened here, guys, ladies? And you all start to say, wow, that makes sense. Why did we do that? And we become more efficient through learning, through observing, through realizing how much better we can be. You know, Mrs. Smith was upset that her car wasn't ready at 3 o'clock. I remember this. I was at the counter. Let's see what happened to Mrs. Smith's car. Oh, musical chairs, right? Craig, to your point. And then we ask ourselves, why? And one final comment, and I will shut up and talk about parts delivery. Parts are always on time. They're great. My supplier is wonderful. They have problems every day. They're human. Wait a minute. They can't find drivers. There's all these issues. We're using Uber. You see, don't hide behind information you don't know, really know or have.
Let's back up to this parts point real quick, Carm, because here's the problem I see, and I'm going to advocate hard for our parts partners right now. Shops are chaotic. It's the shop's problem that they're chaotic. It's shop management that makes it chaotic. And who's the first person that we start to put pressure on for our management shortcomings? It's a hard question that a lot of shops have to come to terms with, but the reality is we've got parts partners that are bending over backwards, accommodating the chaos that we have created through our own mismanagement. And that's a hard realization. But hey, like Chris mentioned before our show here, our team's reading Extreme Ownership right now. Fantastic book, Jocko Willink's Leif Babin. That's time for our shop owners, our shop managers, and our front counter to truly own. Calling up that phone, upset and angry, putting that pressure on our parts partners, it's not okay. And it's not going to create any relationships that are going to be what I would consider healthy.
I agree with you. And by the way, I speak to this a lot when I have private conversations with shop owners. And I say, stop beating up your supplier. You need them more than you ever did. And when you really need the favor, they may not necessarily be there for you. You need to know what their business is. You need to invite them. If you share mutual challenges that you have, the mutual respect that each end is going to make both of you, you're going to buy more. And they're going to support you more. And you're going to tolerate the issues that happen on both sides. Oh, they're calling again and they need this part right away because they probably forgot to order it in the last call, because that's the attitude at the parts counter. There's such a divide. And Chris, maybe Bay Flow could help in us understanding that it's not them and it's not, some of it's on us and vice versa. Maybe it's the old 80-20 or 75-25 rule. Well, it's both ways.
I think it is there, Carm. I think that, I'm not going to say that my shops aren't guilty of it. You know, order three of them. Order for each distributor, right? And if everybody's ordering the same part from three different distributors, like Craig said, didn't we just all create the problem? If we're trying to figure out which one's going to get to us quicker and everybody's ordering multiple from multiples, and I'm going to go to this, Carm, kudos to you. I always suggest shop owners, go listen to Carm's podcasts and go educate yourself and get your service writers educated and get your technicians educated. Because the more educated we are internally, the technician's going to tell them the right part and the service writer's going to be able to go look up the right part and they're going to order the right part from the first time, maybe not every time, but for the most part, because this just happened. It is chronic, right? And I think a lot of it, maybe Bowflow is not going to solve some of that problem. A lot of that's internal. And we've got to admit to ourselves, like, training's good. Helping our people identify these cars, these year make models, the different parts and pieces, and make sure they take their time to go find them is important. I just think that's more of a chronic issue in the industry, just period. You have the shotgun diagnostic with the three different parts or who's going to get here faster. Like, I think it's a deeper issue.
I don't know. I'm going to go with Bowflow is going to heal your parts partner relationships. Absolutely.
It could.
If you're going to sit down with your parts supplier, with Bowflow or not, if you say to that part supplier at lunch and look them in the eye and say, what's my new return rate? And smile. And if they know that you're an abusing customer and you want to right this wrong, they're going to say, well, it's one of the highest in the company. You know that there's a point in time when you need them. They may not be there for you because, to your point, Chris, I'm ordering it from vendor one, vendor two, vendor three, whoever gets here first, doesn't matter who gets here first. Whoever was the cheapest, I'm going to send that identical part back to somebody. You see?
You're just the boy who cried wolf in some of those scenarios.
It's so wrong in trying to hold a quality relationship. You're working so hard as a company for integrity and honesty and customer experience that you would treat a supplier. I don't know why we went off on this deep end.
I think it's important because you're crying wolf because you thought you saw a wolf and it's not. What you're experiencing is a manageable reality. It absolutely is.
And my point was the discovery that Bowflow can give you to find out, oh, there's the part supplier that just came in the door. It's not hard to find out the time you ordered it. I mean, Chris, the intuition that a shop owner can get, that a manager could get from observation from the page you would see all your statistics, your dashboard, it's almost like, let me add it. I want to be the second, the 10th person to do this thing because I want to learn as we go and I want to run a better company. Wow, what a great conversation. You guys got me wrapped in this heavy.
It's an amazing product and it really opens your eyes. It's honestly a little bit scary what you can learn from it. And the questions, like we talked about in the beginning, that people are worried it's a personal management tool. No, it is a management tool. It is an ATEC scan tool for your business. It is factory diagnostic software.
Brandon, you just said the word scary. What scares you?
Nothing. I'm not them.
It's scary when you see that you wear no clothes, Carm, is what he's saying. When you see the truth... The truth gets scary. Once again, Craig chuckled when, you know, my shop gets used often and I run a good shop, Carm. I run a profitable business. My guys are great. My guys and gals are great, but we all falls and we can all improve. And I'm the first one to look in the mirror and say, yeah, I can show you where I can improve. Come here. Let me show you. And I run a good operation, right?
He does. Okay. And I got to tell you a funny quick story here too. We were demonstrating it earliest days. I think we were at one of the ShopFix shows where we were showing Bowflow's results. And we had Chris's shop on the screen. It was towards the end of the day. And we did only have live views at the time. And I opened up Chris's shop and I have, and it's like, oh my gosh, Bay One, there's like technicians sitting in chairs. And then the next screen comes on and now there's more of them sitting around chairs. And at first I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing. Now we're not seeing Bay product until you realize, oh gosh, yes, of course, it's Friday. It's right at the end of the day. His team's sitting there in the Bay having that team powwow. And I saved that picture somewhere because I still think it's like one of the coolest scenes that I've seen in Bowflow and Proxy. It's just this team meeting happening in the Bay.
Proof of meeting.
Yeah. Proof of meeting. Yeah. See, we're finding new solutions all the time.
Yes. In fact, that should be on the dashboard. Proof of meeting. When you see a gathering.
Bowflow coming to your boardroom today.
We'll create that new statistic. Body without car.
Thank you. A gathering of human beings. Proof of meeting. Sanctioned or not.
Right.
It's called Bowflow. I have a product. I have a company. Look, this isn't a product sell, right? And I want to make this perfectly clear. You know, when me and Craig go and we do training, we don't talk about Autoflow. I tend to stay away to pitch. This is not a pitch. What this is, and I hope everybody, and I think we've stayed away from it. Yeah, we have a product, but it's truly the concept behind what we're doing. And we appreciate you, Carm, because you have said, hey, let's talk about this. This is a cool concept, right? This is a cool tool that, like Brandon said, this is an ATEC scanner for your business, right? That you've never been able to use before. So there's all kinds of things we can use for it. Now, I just want to say thank you, Carm, for the time, for allowing us to share this, right? It's very cool.
Chris, this isn't a placement for a product. This is just a discussion of some really incredible technology. Everybody who's got an entrepreneurial mindset or an idea and they want to create a product around it, we still need to find out, where did it come from? Why is it working? Why is it good for us? And who knows how many copycats are going to come down the road and follow, but there may be some. You had a 6-year start, and people may be able to do it quicker and better. It's Bayflow.com?
Bayflow.io.
Bayflow.io.
Yeah, we're hip with the new stuff. .io is the cool thing.
.io. All right, I better go buy that for remarkable results. Okay, this was great. Thank you so much for this insight. Will you come back when we can actually show like a dashboard and walk through? Listen, here's a dashboard. Here's what the owner did about this because of that. Here's how they involved the team, because I don't think this is adversarial at all. I think this is nothing but positivity.
I think the solutions that we're going to find in Bayflow are solutions that we'll be able to pass on and teach on for those that maybe can't afford or can't put hardware in the shop. Some of the takeaways that we're going to start extrapolating from this are absolutely going to benefit everybody.
So let's do this. You know, when DVI came out, Chris, you know this better than anyone. It was slow to be adopted. Not everyone was able to implement, hit the right switches, figure it all out. I would love to see a product like this have a quicker, better acceptance rate and fullness, if you will, of use, because I'm sure you could turn this on and just, oh, I got this, and it's not doing anything for you. Brandon, Craig, I think both of you would be key to being sure that the fullness, that's the word I'm looking for, the fullness of use can be brought to this kind of product. There's not enough DVIs being used and not to the degree being used. So just because it's a cool new product doesn't mean it's been integrated the proper way.
Brandon is absolutely taking point on that. And I deeply appreciate the role and the ownership that he takes over that role, because we're giving a lot of information that has no clear action that goes with it. And Brandon's keeping people focused on the results and working with them to find those answers.
All right, guys, this was great. Keeping an eye on Bay Productivity, Chris Cloutier, Golden Rule Auto Care, CEO of Autoflow, and it's autoflow.com, bayflow.io. Brandon Krusha, Bayflow brand manager, brand owner, former Marine. Good to have you here, man. And Craig O'Neill, VP of training from autoflow.com. Thank you. You just opened my eyes. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Carm.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.